never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 844-967-2789. Crudy, before we go to the phones, I want to throw this one out there from the rawest of the raw story. Longtime Donald Trump lawyer fixer Michael Cohen detailed his cooperation with four, count them, one, two, three, four separate investigations into his former boss in a new legal filing reviewed by Raw Story. The 21-page document filed on Wednesday, attorney David Schwartz asked Judge Jesse Furman to discharge Cohen from supervised release. He argued Cohen proved to be an invaluable government asset in four different Trump investigations. Filing noted a total of 12 meetings with the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, arguing that Cohen had no obligation to meet with the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, and he received no benefit from doing so. The document noted three meetings with the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, Tish James, claiming Cohen voluntarily provided with the New York Attorney General with several important documents. And also, the filing noted seven interviews with the Southern District of New York's U.S. Attorney's Office and roughly 10 meetings with the Office of Special Counsel Robert Mueller. In addition to the investigations, Cohen's lawyer also noted cooperation with Congress. Quote, specifically, Cohen met with the House Oversight Committee on three occasions, the House Intelligence Committee on three occasions, the Senate Intelligence Committee on three occasions, and individual members of Congress for countless hours preparing for the hearings.
You know, let's not forget Michael Cohen was Trump's fixer, and he is a scumbag. You know what I mean? I much like cheering for Liz Cheney in the suit of Trump. It's like it's like cheering for Boba Fett.
Oh, come on, man. The new Boba Fett or the old Boba Fett? I mean, if you're a bounty hunter, you're already, I mean, it's kind of, it's post-Empire. I mean, it's a tough world out there, man. But listen, you crawl out of that thing on the planet and try to live. But listen, yes, you're right. And certainly we cannot forget who these people are and where they came from. But at the end of the day, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And I will take Cohen. If he's under oath and providing testimony, great. I'll take Cheney. She understands, at least if nothing else, the gravity of the situation. Now, she may have an entirely different worldview than I, but she knows that if this kind of stuff is allowed to go on, then everybody's going to do it.
Yeah, but Darth Vader is her daddy. 844-967-2789. Andy from Beaver Dam, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Andy.
Well, you know, getting back to the governor's race, you know, Tim Michaels owning a construction company, does he mean in a literal sense that he's going to tip Madison upside down if he gets to be governor? You know, like he's going to, like, you know.
Like the bully on the playground shaking Dominic for lunch money?
Well, yeah, right. Kind of, you know, kind of sticking him up or something like that. But, no, I don't know. I would say it looks pretty good for Tony Evers. That's what I'm saying, but unless nobody votes.
Well, that's always the problem with Democrats if they're not properly engaged and motivated, right, Andy? I think it's far from a finished race. I mean, don't believe the red wave. Tony Evers has had good polling, relatively good polling, certainly better than any polling Scott Walker had. But I think when you get to the head-to-head polling, I think it's going to be very close.
Yeah.
It's going to be a coin flip plus 25,000 votes, Andy. And the question is, you know, do they turn theirs out or do we turn ours out? And by ours, I mean, you know, like friends of the Devil's Advocates, do we show up?
Right.
If you tell two of your friends and they tell two of their friends and so on, we'll carry Tony Evers back to the governor's mansion.
Right. I got one other thing for you. Now, from the news reports, that guy down in Highland Park, he was thinking about coming to Madison?
No, he came to Madison, dude. He dropped his cell phone in Middleton across the street from my former business I sold off to my employees.
Oh, my God. Man.
And was considering a shooting while he was in town in a apparently felt like he wasn't properly prepared to snipe off any more holiday festivity people.
That is a scary thing, man.
Well, Well, it would change the whole dynamic of your community. It would change the whole history of Middleton, much like it changes the entire history of Highland Park going forward. I mean, Highland that Park would be...
upscale.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just say Highland Park is an upscale. Who would have ever thought that some guy was going to be sitting on a rooftop and taking shots at people at a parade? You know, it's an innocent... it's an innocent environment, but I just don't know. God.
Andy, sorry to cut you short. Got a few more I want to get to. I mean, if I was a victim of the Waukesha parade or maybe experienced a little PTSD in light of the carnage that happened there, and they just had their 4th of July parade, you know what I mean? And you got a mass shooting in the same day. I'm not saying somehow... Waukesha is different than any other community. We all look at Highland Park and think, man, that could have been Middleton. That could have been Waukesha. That could have been any of our backyards.
It almost was.
So
the guy just decided, nah, I didn't have enough planning into this. I'm going to go back and get caught. I mean, so I'm not going to pretend to know what was going through the guy's head, but by a random happenstance, he came to Madison, right? And decided not to shoot everybody and left. I mean, that's how it is. And regardless of the, you know, the how affluent the zip code is, that doesn't matter. It doesn't save you. It doesn't stop it. That's the whole point. That's what these mass shootings are about. You could be in Highland Park. You could be in Texas. Someone gets an AR-15. You get, you know, 30 round clips. You can pop off a lot of people very quickly. That's the problem. It's not the nagging, Andy. It's not the drugs. It's the guns. Pizza Box, Mike, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Pizza Box.
You know, I can't believe that any racist bastard would call in and talk about Democrat cities and violence and this and that after what I saw this week with 8 police officers shooting an unarmed black guy running away. Wonder why he was running away, guys.
Right.
Shot 60 times. 60 times, and then handcuffed, you know, and then what did we see happen in Ohio? Cops come to a disturbance where they're going to serve, you know, the guy that's beating his wife all the time. She finally gets a restraining order. He kills 3 cops and a police dog, wounds 2 more, and they take the guy in. Of course they did. He's a white guy, right? Never kill the white guys. You know, anybody tells me the Republican from now on, it's just F off and get the F away from me, man. You're sick.
It seems to be
hard
a
to build
recurring
on that thought, Mike.
No, it is. It's a recurring theme, certainly. You know, now they say the man had a gun. They claim that he fired and the gun was left in the car and he ran. I'm with you, Pizza Box. I don't believe a word of it. You know, they released some of the video, but anytime you got 8 officers basically unloading their guns on a running guy running away, that's not a good thing. I expect all of them to be charged.
And the shooter that apparently strolled through Middleton, you know, they had a baseball game and lots of celebrations in the park right across from my house. Yeah. In light of the fact it was the 4th of July. Dr. Louis Friedland joins us on The Big Show 4:30 tomorrow in studio. Now stick around. The Up North Podcast and Native Roots Radio next right here on Devil Radio and The Shaw.